Pastor John Randall with some godly counsel for those in a dating relationship.
Listen, do not put yourself in a place where you will stumble. For example, it's midnight, it's dark, you're in a car, no one's around. This is the day you're setting yourself up to fall.
I don't know what happened, Pastor John. We were praying.
Yeah, sure you were.
The Bible says to lay hands on one another.
No, that's not what it means. That is a misinterpretation of that passage. See, don't put yourself in a place where you're going to stumble. You understand? You set the boundaries. You keep each other accountable. You're building trust. You exercise self-control. And God will bless that.
Hey, thanks for tuning in today. You're listening to A Daily Walk, and Pastor John Randall will return in just a second. Everywhere you turn these days, there are a number of so-called experts telling you how to have a successful relationship. It's not hard to see the world's way doesn't work, but God's way does, and in His Word, He describes it for us. Those of you who are engaged or in a serious dating relationship will no doubt be able to relate to the feelings of the Shulamite woman expressed in the passage before us. Her strong desire is to be with Solomon, but she knows it's important to reserve physical intimacy for marriage. Let's go to Pastor John now for part two of his message, Growing in Love.
Now their love had grown to the point that now others are aware of it. I mean, this thing is progressing. This is on the fast track to marriage. They're on their way. This is exciting. And it gets good, man. You keep going through this book. Okay, here we go. Verse 5. Notice now what she's thinking about. She's thinking about being intimate with him. Very natural. This is how it goes. This is where it leads. Look at what it says. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. His left hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. Interesting phrase. Sustain me with cakes of raisins. Somebody, raisins. Stat. You know, what does that even mean? Somebody got an apple? I need an apple. I'm feeling lovesick. Whoa, is she just super hungry now? I mean, what's happening here? Some commentators have associated the cake of raisins and apples as having to do with an intimate relationship. In Israel's history, for example, raisins and apples were considered sensual foods. Who knew? And they were even thought to help women get pregnant. When men came back from war, they would be given these raisins. And it was like saying, go home to be with your wife. Here's some raisins. Make some babies. I mean, that was basically what they were doing. You got any extra raisins? I got to go home. My wife is, you know, in fact, we made some raisin cakes out. You could take them on the way out. You marry a couple. No, we haven't made any. But I'm just saying, this is what they would do. And so she's saying, man, honey, some raisin cakes. I mean, she is wanting to be intimate with him. That is awesome. I mean, this is natural. This is the direction that it goes. There's a desire for intimacy. It's not wrong to have that desire toward that other person. God created us with that desire. But he also gave us guidelines. The intimate relationship is for marriage, and it is a blessing from God. Fornication is not God's plan for intimacy. That's the world's plan. That's what they say. But in a marriage, intimacy is something that was designed by God for the blessing of the two people. Now, in light of that, I want to bring something up. We are never to use intimacy as a weapon to fight with or to manipulate our spouse. The Apostle Paul speaks of this, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Listen to what it says. Let the husband render to the wife the affection due her. Likewise, also the wife to her husband. The wife doesn't have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan doesn't tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The Apostle Paul warns of the danger of withholding intimacy from your spouse. Intimacy in marriage, it wasn't an option, an extra, but it's a rather vital part of the connection to your spouse. God never intended us to be celibate in marriage, but to be intimate in marriage. And a marriage without intimacy, healthy intimacy, is in trouble. Within some marriages, couples use intimacy as a weapon to fight with instead of a tool to build with. They deprive one another. They manipulate the other person. They neglect each other. And you know what happens? Bitterness sets in. Resentment follows. The distance becomes greater. They end up hating one another, living in separate rooms, purchasing bunk beds. I mean, this is just not what God intended for the married couple. And they're setting a poor example for their children. They're simply existing and only communicating when it's absolutely necessary. And this is a tragedy, and this is disobedience to God's word. And each partner, they feel justified in their bitterness. They have their reasons. There's no forgiveness, perhaps, or maybe they've hurt one another. And so this leads to depriving one another, neglecting one another. And that's not what God intended for your marriage, for our marriages to be. That was not his intention from the very beginning. When Paul uses the words "do not deprive," it means stop depriving. It means do not rob one another. Don't fraud the other person. Take something from them that actually is properly theirs. The Apostle Paul pointed out there is an exception, however, as it relates to intimacy, and that is if you are mutually agreed, we are going to fast and pray and seek the Lord. And so we're going to set aside this, and we're going to set aside that, and we're also going to set aside that so that we can seek the Lord together and hear from him. If there's that mutual consent, and hey, you know what? Awesome. That's great. There are seasons, there are times when that can be used. But Paul says, listen, don't go for a long period of time of being, you know, apart from each other, because here's what happened. Satan gets in there. He starts to work in your mind. You start thinking the lady thinks I'm not beautiful, or he starts thinking I'm unwanted. And then it just, you're not communicating anymore, and nobody wants to look desperate in this situation. So nobody talks. And then it just goes from there. And the devil gets in and seeks to divide and conquer. When a husband does not affectionately love his wife, she feels insecure, unloved. Emotionally, she disconnects from him. At the same time, when the wife does not render to the husband affection and physical intimacy, the man also feels disconnected, feels disrespected, or even unwanted. Now, I know, as long as I've been pastoring, I understand that I can't cover every single area as it relates to intimacy in marriage. And I know that there are challenges of past hurts and personal insecurities and many other things that have an impact on this area of the marital relationship. But I also know that in order for this area of marriage to be what God intended it to be, there must be an understanding that men and women are different from one another, that we see things differently, we feel things differently. A woman needs to know that she is loved, that she is emotionally connected. She needs to know and feel secure and safe in that love of her husband. And a man needs to feel respected and know that his wife desires him and respects him as a man. And both husband and wife are to approach this area of their relationship as servants to one another. You seek to be a blessing to the other person. And in that, you never put someone in a position that is uncomfortable or just makes them feel awkward. Listen, that's wrong. That's not God's intention. And it's so important that we approach this with the mind of Christ, to bless the other person, to be sensitive to what their needs are. The Christian husband wants to serve his wife, and the Christian wife desires to serve her husband. And if you say the spark has gone out, throw another log in the fire, whatever it takes. I mean, this is something that you have to work together on, and I would encourage you to do that. Well, she's getting pretty excited about the future of intimacy. That's normal. But I also want you to see something else. She understands that there is timing and boundaries that must be set before she's married. It says in verse 7, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Although the Shulamite had a desire to be intimate with the shepherd king, she also realizes the importance of timing and boundaries. Very natural as the relationship progresses, as you're moving toward marriage, it gets a little bit harder to be abstinent because you realize we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. Can we start now? No, you need to start after you are married in the ceremony. That's what God honors and what God blesses. And so in light of that, if you're in a relationship or it's progressing, listen, do not put yourself in a place where you will stumble. For example, it's midnight. It's dark. You're in a car. No one's around. It's just that you're setting yourself up to fall. I don't know what happened, Pastor John. We were praying. Yeah. Sure you were. The Bible says to lay hands on one another. No, that's not what it means. That is a misinterpretation of that passage. So you don't put yourself in a place where you're going to stumble. You understand? You set the boundaries. You keep each other accountable. You're building trust. You exercise self-control. And God will bless that. These are things that are being established early on that are so important. Don't put yourself in a place where you're going to stumble. And guess what? You won't stumble if you put yourself in that position. You keep yourself away from that. Interesting, isn't it, that she uses the gazelle and the doe as an example? What does that even mean? Why, I charge you by the gazelles and the does. Okay, what does that mean? Think about those two animals. They are very agile. They are very quick. They are swift. To get out of trouble. She's saying, be like a gazelle and abound away. Don't put yourself in that place. It's interesting that she didn't say, you know, be like the turtle. I charge you by the turtle, by the sloth. Do not, I mean, those are the slowest animals ever. By the snails of the, no. By the gazelle or the doe. She's saying, flee out of that situation. The Bible says to take the way of escape when temptation comes. And God will bless. Listen. Outside of marriage, sex becomes about self-gratification and fulfilling personal desires. Today, most Americans think, and I would say even some believers, some quote-unquote believers think that sex outside of marriage is okay. And they have more partners and then they, you know, go from there. And studies have shown that this can cause a higher risk. It's evident. It's out there. Higher risk of divorce rate later on. Problems in marriage that you bring in as a result of all of this. You see, when you give yourself away in that relationship, you give yourself away physically. You give yourself away emotionally, spiritually to someone outside of the commitment and protection of marriage. And it breaks down an important part of us, making our future relationship more unhealthy and difficult to sustain. You ever seen those little sticky pads or yellow pads? You know, you get one, you stick it on your computer, you stick it on this. First, you stick it on something and it sticks. It stays there. It stays there for a while. You take it off and then you stick it somewhere else. It doesn't stick as much as it did the first time. Then you take it and you stick it over here. And now it's just swinging. I mean, it's hanging there, but not really. And then finally, you get to a point where you try to stick it on something and it doesn't stick anymore. Such is the case for some people in their relationships. They're connected to this person, then they get involved with that person. And by the time they get to the person that they're going to marry, there's so much baggage and so much stuff that they bring in that it's really hard to stick these two together. Just there's trouble. So save yourself the heartache. And if you've fallen in that area, if you've blown it, then I would encourage you to repent and to make a fresh commitment to be pure. And if you are pure, save yourself for your spouse. And God will bless. It's important. In verse 8, we see their communication, and this is extremely important in relationships, as you probably well know. It says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. How about that, guys? When was the last time your wife said that about you? Actually, it was yesterday. No, I mean, this is really, behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. Now, please don't misunderstand. This doesn't mean he is stalking me and I can't. That's not what this is talking about here. First of all, notice something. She hears her beloved's voice. She's listening. Her ears are tuned to what her king is saying. She listens. She's attentive to him. She hears his voice, and she refers to it as the voice of the one she loves. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I wonder if today your ears are tuned toward the Good Shepherd, toward the King. Are you listening when he speaks? Are you mindful of what he says? She not only hears him, she's listening, but she also sees him. She says, "I see him leaping and skipping on the mountains like a gazelle, like a stag." I mean, this guy is just, he's all over the place. I mean, he's leaping on the mountains, likens him to a gazelle. Again, gazelle is known for speed, agility, and a gazelle is able to traverse obstacles. You ever seen these things bounding? I mean, they just can jump so high and clear so much. I mean, they just get over anything, leap over an obstacle. I mean, the only time they really have trouble is when they run into a lion's mouth. But most times they can just leap and run, and it's amazing to watch them just get over any kind of obstacle whatsoever. And it would seem, and I may want to make this application, that as applied to her love and the way that he is, you can see an excitement and an eagerness to leap over any obstacle, anything. I mean, nothing's going to stand in the way of his love for her. He is just abounding. He is making his way to her, and she sees it. She sees his activity that's directed toward her. It's very evident, demonstrations of, "Well, I'm not going to, that's all right, don't worry about it, fine. We'll adjust the time frames. We'll adjust the schedule. It's not a big deal. Leaping over that, I know, but I have this thing. You know what? That doesn't bother me. I don't care that your skin was tanned out in the vineyard. It doesn't matter to me that your brother's mistreated. Listen, I know about that. You've told me about that, but that's not an obstacle to me. That's not an obstacle to my love. I so appreciate that." Solomon wasn't like that one young man, uncommitted. And although he seemed committed, he wrote a beautiful love letter to the one that he loved. And this is what he said. It starts out really good. He says, "My love, I would climb the highest mountain for you." He said, "I would swim the deepest river for you. I would cross the widest ocean to be with you." Oh, how sweet. And then he does a postscript, "P.S. If it doesn't rain next Wednesday, I'll come to see you." Do you understand the inconsistency with that? "Oh, listen, widest ocean, deepest thing. Oh, man, it's raining. I can't make it." What? There's no commitment there. But Solomon, he is leaping and bounding, and whatever it takes, no obstacle is going to stop him from getting to the one that he loves. And you know something? I am grateful this morning that nothing stopped the love of God in reaching us. Jesus sets aside his divine privileges, lays it aside, no obstacle. Sin standing in the way, that's all right. Here's what he's gonna do. He's gonna die on a cross to conquer the obstacle of sin. Well, what about death? Not a problem. He's gonna rise again the third day, conquered sin, conquered death, conquered the devil. All the obstacles standing in the way from heaven coming to earth, from God making its way to man, or man being able to reach God, all of that was conquered by the love of God. His banner over you today is love. Nothing's going to stop him. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God, the Bible says, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Another point I want to make concerning relationships. You notice that the Shepherd King, he's active. He's energetic. Sometimes a couple's been married a while, and they start to say things like, "We never do anything together. Let's do something. Come on, let's go do something." Husband's like, "You know what? I think I know what we should do. I'll sit on the couch, take a nap, and you can knit me some socks." I mean, that doesn't sound very energetic, right? No, invest in your marriage. Get up, take a walk, do something. I mean, this is good. Invest in your marriage. Be energetic about it. Be excited. Be enthusiastic about your relationship. Look for ways to be energetic in that relationship. If you kind of just, you know, gotten this status quo, this is what we do, this is how we, I mean, be you know, think outside the box a little bit, like you used to. I mean, start to revisit some of those things. Surprise your wife. She'll be like, what happened? What? I don't know. I just get so blessed by Song of Solomon. I thought I'd, you know, put on my gazelle costume. I mean, just do something. It also says here that he was peering. I don't know where that came from. He was peering through a lattice, looking at her. One reason he's described as peering through the lattice, some have said, was to consider the interior of her life that she was still dealing with. You remember we talked about in previous chapter that there was some insecurity that she had. And it is possible that maybe something came up as this relationship is growing. This insecurity began to surface, and maybe some information came to light that he wasn't aware of before. And so maybe she's still a little bit standoffish, but he's right there. He's right there, ready to listen. Whatever's going on, I mean, he's prepared to not allow it to stop him from pursuing this relationship. Maybe she's dealing with insecurity, and he's respectful of her feelings. He doesn't want to burden her with anything that she's burdened with, but I love the fact that he doesn't distance himself from her in the sense, but he draws near. He's right there. And within relationships, it is very important. I can't stress this enough, because I've seen this over the last 25 years come up in times of ministering to couples, those in courtship, those in marriage. Something that is extremely important right up front is honesty. Honesty. It's important that you let the other person know what's happened to you, what's gone on, lest you kind of bury it and you're not honest with them. And so, you know, you get a little bit further down the road, or you end up being married and you never told them that. And now they found out. I mean, that is so damaging. And these are hard conversations to have sometimes. I'm not saying you have to go into every single aspect of every single detail of your past life. But if it has an effect on your relationship, you need to be honest with that person. You need to have those tough conversations, because you're gonna find that it impedes your progress going forward as a couple if you're not being honest. And it causes a lot more damage down the road if they find out later on, oh, by the way, why didn't you ever tell me that? How important it is to start off your relationship with honesty. And if they genuinely love you, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of faults, a multitude of sins. And folks, we all have a past that we are not proud of. I don't care how moral you think you are. We all have something that we're ashamed of in our life, that God has forgiven us. The blood of Christ has cleansed us. And we need to be honest with this person that we're going to be one with if we're actually going to have a successful relationship in the Lord.
Pastor John Randall stressing the importance of honesty in our relationships. And this is A Daily Walk. We're in the middle of a study in the Song of Solomon right now. There are 9 messages in this series, and this would be great to go through with the person you're dating or married to. Call toll-free 877-242-0828 or go online to adailywalk.org. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you might want to download the Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano Church app. This is a great way to listen to Pastor John's studies on your mobile device. Again, go to adailywalk.org or do a search for CCSJC. We'd also like to encourage you to start following Pastor John on Twitter and Instagram. Be encouraged throughout the week by following John on Twitter at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at John P. Randall. This month, we're excited to offer you a 90-day devotional written by Pastor John's wife, Michelle. It's called A Daily Walk for Women. Michelle likens walking with the Lord to exercise. If we're consistent, we see results. As we seek to walk daily with Jesus, we see benefits much like physical exercise. We grow strong spiritual muscles, gain endurance, and become spiritually healthy. We'll gladly send you a copy of A Daily Walk for Women for the special price of $15. Call us at 877-242-0828 or order online at adailywalk.org. And if you could include a little extra this month, that would be huge and help us remain a biblical voice on this station. Here at A Daily Walk, we're committed to the verse-by-verse teaching of God's Word with the hope it will aid you in your daily walk. If this is a ministry you'd like to get behind and support, we've tried to make it easy to donate online at adailywalk.org or again, call us at 888-253-1280. And even if you're not able or led to give to the ministry, we'd still like to hear from you. Let us know if you find these Bible studies helpful to your daily walk. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. A Daily Walk with John Randall is presented by Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.